Welcome to Caldwell University Conversations. I'm Colette Liddy. Planning for college can be an exciting time and also an overwhelming time for parents and students, especially if they have never been through the process before. What are the steps families should be taking while searching for a college or university? When are applications and documents due? Where can parents and students get help through the process? Here to give us some valuable advice are Joseph Pasilico, Vice President for Enrollment Management and Communications at Caldwell University, and Stephen Quinn, Assistant Vice President for Admissions, also here at Caldwell. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Let's start at the beginning. For students and parents who are completely new to this, how do they start the college search process, the first steps?
I think the first steps really are for students and their families to have honest conversations about the type of environment a student would really succeed in. And it's ultimately going to be the student who's going through the experience and the student who will be successful. So having that honest conversation about where would they like to be, whether it's close to home or farther away, big, small, in a city, in a rural area, a suburban, maybe a Catholic education or a public education, starting to try to figure out answer those bigger questions will really help narrow down the list for families and figuring out what type of environment a student will really succeed in.
Narrowing the field.
Exactly. It's a wide field. There's over 4,000 institutions out there in the country right now, and getting it down to that ultimate one you choose can seem daunting, but as you start to answer questions like that, it's helpful to work with your school counselors in the high schools that know the type of institutions that are out there and the type of institutions that students from their high school have been successful at. They provide a wealth of experience as well.
At the time of this taping, we're taping in February. Where in the process should high school juniors be, high school seniors at this point?
Sure. High school juniors really should be at that point of starting to answer those questions and ideally having a list of schools that they're considering and maybe starting to visit those schools. I think high school juniors should also be preparing to take one of, if not both, the SAT and ACT at this point. And then, you know, continuing to whittle down that list of schools to ultimately the batch of schools that they're going to apply to. At this point, high school seniors ideally will have sent in their applications, although there's plenty of schools, Caldwell included, that'll still accept applications for students on a rolling basis. So if they aren't happy with their choices or still exploring, there's certainly a lot of schools out there still looking. But they should be getting their applications in, hopefully hearing back from schools, and ideally making their decision by May 1st of where they're going to enroll.
Yeah, I think one of the important things Steve mentioned is for the high school juniors to visit campuses. And even if the families have those conversations and it's decided, you know, we want a big school in a big city, the visits are really important because you can't imagine how many students think they want one thing and end up somewhere totally different because once they make the visit, they realize it's not really what they wanted.
It looks different than
exactly.
It does on the website.
Yep.
Joe, when should parents start gathering all the financial aid documents, financial documents?
Yeah, it used to be that at this time of the year is when the whole financial aid process would really start up. But the federal government has changed the timeline, and so the process now begins in October. And it runs through, you know, this whole spring semester. So students right now and families, if they haven't already, they should gather their tax documents, and not the ones they're currently working on, but actually the ones from the prior year. And that's another big change the federal government made. So it will be easier in the future to file for financial aid because theoretically everyone will have already filed their taxes, and it's the ones that have been filed that they will use to do their financial aid forms. So while for many families now is the time, in the future it'll be October, November, December they'll be able to file. And we've seen this year, we had a good number of students who filed early, and we probably have about 1,000 freshmen already awarded aid, where at this time last year, maybe a handful.
Right. It's definitely sped up the process. So, for example, families this year who will be starting in the fall of 2017 will use 2015 taxes. So That's the information that the government will be looking for when you go out to the FAFSA website, FAFSA.gov, to file in for information for your financial aid.
Now, when searching for a college, how can parents help their children own the experience? Some want to own it more than others, right?
Absolutely. I mean, they it's the student needs to be involved. And we see it a lot when we have our campus tours and things like that, where the parents are the ones asking questions. But really, if the student can be the one asking questions, the student can be engaged in the process. Because ultimately, they're going to be the ones to be enrolling, and they need to be happy. So students, you know, need to think about what they like. And as Joe said, especially when you visit, you can really a lot of it's feel. You're going to be on campus and you're going to feel, this is the place I can feel myself succeeding. These are the type of students I want to be around. So when you're on the campus, really, you know, take that in and let everybody be part of the decision. But the student really needs to own it and take the lead, really.
Yeah, we always say that it's about having a good fit for the student. They have to feel comfortable on campus. And really the best way to do that, as Steve said, is they should be the ones asking the questions and meeting people, because, you know, that's just the way they'll find out for themselves. But also, you know, while they're here, they are the ones that will have to engage with faculty and other administrators on campus and check in on their financial aid. So it's better from the start to get to meet people and ask questions and, you know, gauge what it's like, the culture is like on the campus.
And at Caldwell, do they get that opportunity to talk to professors and department chairs?
We do. We make sure that all of our events that we have, that where students can interact with faculty and current students and student services administrators. So we really try to make that connection. And one thing we do, too, at some of our events is separate the parents and students out so that they can get, because the questions a lot of times are different. We see the students open up more. One of our best type of events are really one-on-one events, what we call day visits, where a student's basically a student for a day here at Caldwell. We pair them up with a current student. They sit in on classes. They can meet with faculty. They have lunch in the cafeteria. They really get to feel what a normal Tuesday, Wednesday is like on campus, and they're by themselves with another student so they can get the questions they want answered.
Terrific. For students who are looking at faraway schools, you have to get on an airplane. How do they get the most out of their communication with that college or university of interest?
I think taking advantage of technology is a great way to do it. There's a lot of opportunities now out there to visit campuses almost virtually. We participate in some online college fairs, including ones with live video chat with admissions officers. Of course, going back and forth in email and social media is always there. Schools avail themselves of different type of videos and virtual tours on their campus. We, for example, use 360-degree videos, so you can use that and really put yourself and immerse yourself on our campus no matter where you are in the country or the world. You're able to kind of look around our different spots on campus. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you can make the opportunity to visit the schools that you're really interested, we encourage it. You know, trying to ingratiate yourselves in different ways certainly helps, but nothing beats being on campus when you can.
Joe, when should parents and students start looking at what loans are available?
Well, I think as they're searching for institutions, and that's a very stressful sort of period, so they're looking at schools. Once they've narrowed it down and completed their applications, it's really time to think about financial aid. And, you know, the loans that are available, there are student loans that are available, that all you have to do is file the financial aid form and the students automatically will receive student loans. And there are parent loans that are available to parents. They're called alternative loans that parents can take out from different banks. They're private loans that have to be paid back right away. But those are the loans that are available. I think what's important to understand, I know for a lot of families, they're afraid to take out loans because of what's been portrayed in the media, all these students who are graduating with hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt. But, you know, recent studies have showed that it's less than, I think, 4% of all student borrowers actually borrow that amount of money. Most student borrowers are borrowing, you know, around $25,000, and they can be repaid over 10, 20, 30 years. It's not the big crisis that everyone believes it to be. There are a lot of loans out there, but there's, you know, many millions of students that are in college, which is, you know, pushing up the loan debt. But I think for families that, you know, needed some additional funding, loans are not the worst way to go. They're fairly low interest. It's a lot better than using a credit card or taking out a private loan. You don't have to repay the loan until you graduate or you stop attending. So there's a lot of advantages to taking out student loans.
I remember when I wrote my final check, I was thinking, I'm going out to celebrate now after I wrote my final loan check. When the responses start coming in, how do you review the financial aid offers? Can you go back to a university or college and ask them to reevaluate the package?
Well, I think that many families have received that advice because we know we hear from a lot of families. You know, for us, we typically go out with our best offer, and so families can compare what we've offered to other institutions. We will listen to families. We ask that they provide us what other institutions might be offering, and we'll look at it. I think most of the time we're very comfortable with the offers we make. We're very competitive, and it really comes down to the net cost for families, and it's something they don't fully understand, and we often have to explain to them. So, for instance, if you have an institution that costs $20,000 and they give you a $10,000 scholarship, you'd have to pay $10,000. If another institution costs $35,000 and gave you a $15,000 scholarship, you'd have to pay $20,000. But families get caught up with the amount of scholarship, and they'll say, well, but the other school offered me $15,000. Not really understanding how much more they would have to actually pay. So we have that conversation a lot of time with families so that they understand that while what we may have offered is less, what they would actually pay to come to Caldwell is less also.
And you made a good point there about the explanation. Your staff in admissions, Steve, spends a lot of time talking to parents and students, and you're available. Correct.
Absolutely. We're available for these types of conversations because we do know for a lot of families, it's the first time they're going through this process. Even if the parents have been to college, you know, when they were 18 or even older, the process is a lot different than it used to be. So we're able to have these conversations with parents and families and students, obviously, to talk them through about what the net cost is. We'll show them, you know, what the net cost is from the other institutions, and then be so this way they can make the most informed decision, and that's what we want for them. And our staff is there, you know, both our admissions and financial aid staffs are there to assist in this process and help them through and answer those questions, because we know, you know, we may deal with it on a day-to-day basis, but for the families, it's their first time through the process.
Terrific. What are some of the mistakes you don't want to make in this process?
I think some of the mistakes you don't want to make is living up to, you know, there's a lot of hype, I think, right now around the college admissions process and the college search process. It's not a game that you're going to end up winning. You want to ultimately find the institution that's the best fit for the student. You know, a lot of times that we see families and especially I think in the North Jersey market too, that are very wrapped up in things like rankings and things like that. That's just one institution's or one organization's set of rankings, but you'll come up with your own set of rankings about what's most important to you, because what that organization may value might not be of value to the family or be the best thing for the student. So that's one thing I would, you know, encourage people to avoid, because there's so many schools out there that would be, again, we'll keep using that word fit, but that's what it's all about, is finding that best fit school for the student. Even if it's not, you know, the top ranked, it might be number 10 in the whatever ranking you're looking at, or even lower. You want to find where a student's going to succeed and excel.
Yeah, and I think when it comes to financial aid, it's always best to be as accurate as possible. The worst thing that can happen is families file inaccurately and receive all types of aid, but the government checks everything now. So your tax returns get checked on the state side, that gets checked, and we often see that a student who had a lot of federal and state grants, all of a sudden it all disappears. And so you've made a decision to go to a school expecting to pay a certain amount of money, and now those grants go away because you weren't accurate on your financial aid when you filed. And there's really nothing that the institution can do. We've provided you with aid, and, you know, those can be, in New Jersey, a maximum tag amount is over $12,000. Pell is $5,500. So if you thought you were getting over $17,000 and it goes away, the institution's not going to be able to make that up. So it is a mistake we see, not as often as we used to, but it's certainly, I think, something you want to avoid.
Mm. And final question, for prospective students and parents who want to contact Caldwell right now, where do they go?
They can give us always a call at 973-618-3500 or email admissions@caldwell.edu. And obviously our website, caldwell.edu, is the best resource to get information and to find that contact information.
And this has been very valuable information. Thank you both for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Our guests have been Stephen Quinn and Joseph Pasilico. My thanks to our students, Mohit Nepal and Kerry McGrath. I'm Colette Liddy. Thank you for joining us on Caldwell University Conversations. Please join us next time.